Today's Peanuts Gallery is brought to you by Museum. We're the one that's right next to Ace Supermarket. Don't get them confused. Peanuts Gallery today is also brought to you by Ace Supermarket. We're the one that's right next to Museum. Don't get them confused.
Once I have written a theme song, it will go here.
This is Peanuts Gallery. I'm Molly Lewis.
And I'm Josh A. Kagan. And hoo boy, we're jam-packed full of guests today. We got so many.
I think we have 200% more guests than we normally have.
And if you count Banjo.
Yeah, Banjo is present, but...
he's all fancy now that he's been on Max Fun. He's yeah. Like, oh, I've been on a podcasting network.
Hey, Waffle's a podcasting network, Banjo.
But we have two fantastic guests today. Returning to the podcast, Ms. Kayla Kagan.
Hi, everyone.
YA author extraordinaire. By the time this comes out, her debut novel, Piper Parish, will be available goddamn everywhere. Also joining us today, first time on the show, one of our dearest, most wonderful friends, Ms. Amy Spaulding.
Hello, Peanuts people.
That's our fan base. That's what we got. Lady Gaga has the little monsters.
We have Peanuts people.
We have the Peanuts people.
Creepy.
Well, I'm excited to have our two guests here today. Amy, especially, is a writer of romantic YA novels.
That's true.
There's a lot of kissing.
Lots of kissing.
And
lots of misunderstandings that lead to making up, which leads to more kissing.
We have some of that today. We have a lot of misunderstandings. It's a love-based episode, nominally. Today's episode is 1973's There's No Time for Love, Charlie Brown, the ninth primetime animated special based on the popular comic strip Peanuts, the fans of which are called Peanut people. Peanut people. Hey, what's up, peepees?
It's singular for some reason.
People for short.
Just one people. Let's tell you a little about this episode with my synopsis. Synopsis. Children are bad at school, interpersonal relationships, art appreciation, and personal pronouns. Also, a dog gets his foot stuck in a shopping cart. Synopsis. Molly, what's this episode actually about?
Well, I hope we can rally this back and forth because I couldn't. I lost the thread. I gotta admit. It opens with a bitchin' title card.
It absolutely does. A real Peter Mac style. So funky, it actually takes the characters by surprise.
Yeah, Charlie Brown and Peppermint Patty are talking about, I don't know, their troubles, kid stuff. They're startled by these titles.
I have to say, if the title said something cooler and more applicable to my life, like I would get a tattoo of it. I think it looks so cool. But I do not want a tattoo that says that.
Well, you don't want a tattoo that says there's no time for love, Amy Spaulding?
I'll tell you what, though. There's another quote from this episode where Charlie Brown says, my anxieties have anxieties. And I would get that in that font on like my butt for sure.
I didn't even think of getting the tattoo with my own name in it. I was like, oh, I'm stuck Charlie Brown thing. I don't know why I thought I could. Because now I like it again. Now I'm like, oh, I can put my own name in it.
None of that actually has to happen. I love how you were like, I'm locked into it now. But I'm not going to do it. I'm saying to imaginary tattoo person. Yeah, it's a weird episode in general. The entire first half of it is just vignettes about how much kids hate school.
And they're like Vine length. They're just impossible to follow.
R.A.P. Vine.
It's like just a spanking machine made out of
strip. It's one strip after another. And according to Wikipedia, which, as always, I consulted 5 minutes before this episode so I could pass it off as my own information, this was the first Peanuts special to use the blackout technique of strip, blackout, strip, blackout, strip, which would then be picked up in the 1980s when the Charlie Brown and Snoopy show came to Saturday mornings.
So then kids take a field trip to the art museum. The group is split and... Charlie Brown, Sally, Peppermint Patty, and Marcy end up in the supermarket. Everybody else goes to the actual art museum.
Because they're right next door to each other.
Ensuing satire about pop art.
I gotta say, though, like, down on Wilshire, that's about the spacing. Like, I thought that was unrealistic, and I was like, no, I feel like there's a Ralph's, like, pretty close to the La Brea Tar Pits. I could tell them apart, but they are close.
Yeah. When I was a kid, if a school bus just parked in front of a grocery store, I'd be like, yep, here we are, bounce, you know.
When I was a kid, I went on a legit field trip to the Benihana of Tokyo, so literally anything. And that was for like the after-school cultural appreciation club.
Yes.
It's like, we're learning about Japan, so let's just go get teppanyaki. Look, it's the little, it's the onion volcano. You've learned something.
For French class, we were supposed to have like a food appreciation thing, but my parents owned a Mexican restaurant and I was like, well, I can bring tacos. And everyone's like, let's just do that. So the Mexican restaurant catered the French club. It didn't make any sense. But
it's multiculturalism.
We liked the free tacos is honestly what happened.
Kayla Kagan, any weird field trips when you were a kid?
Our field trips, I think, were pretty basic and pretty normal. We went to the Port of Houston once and had to pick up trash. And, like, that was not – like, it was like a – like the
little – That's were you, not usual.
What a lot of people don't know.
Service? What – like,
it was like
what
litter club. You? Like, you go and you do good stuff for the environment.
Wait, did you say litter club?
Yeah. Like, you were like, we're not going to let litter –
We like litter? Yes, we do.
We love it. We collect it. It's the Young Grey Gardens Appreciation Society.
I feel like that should have been, like, a lesser – like a ripoff of the Babysitter's Club in the 80s was like the litter, litter club. Just like gross dirty.
We're the garbage girls. Yeah. We hang out behind the school and we smoke. Well, I think we found your new YA series. One of you, you can duke it out for this
you
afterwards.
You got it, girl.
Oh, great.
take the litter and run.
They can wear kinky berets. I'm real excited about the litter club. The kids go, they go on a field trip, they confuse an art museum with a supermarket, and then in the last, like, 7 minutes of the episode, we get to the love portion of it, where Peppermint Patty, who has been sending decidedly mixed signals to Charlie Brown the entire episode, screws up royally, and then Marcy's got to paste things over, and nothing gets resolved.
Yep.
And it's super weird. And one of the things I really want to get to the heart to in this episode is the Marcy, Peppermint Patty, Charlie Brown dynamic.
Yeah.
Because it is, to say the least, dis-motherfucking functional.
It's super weird, but I think that Marcy is so charming to me. Like, she's a little twerp and she doesn't know what she's doing and she's interfering.
Right.
But I don't think she's a malicious part of this love. Not triangle.
She's one of the least malicious people in the Peanuts universe, for sure.
Utterly guileless.
Kind of a love triangle.
I mean, it kind of, but Josh and I talked just a tiny bit about this before. I think Marcy really does think she's trying to, like, do them a favor. Like, I think when she kisses, well, are we going to get to that?
Yeah,
later,
well, let's,
should I wait?
We'll get to, yeah.
Yeah, I think we've the extended synopsis, we nailed that.
We totally did.
Check it
out. So let's swing it back. By the way, here's another exciting quote-unquote fact, hot off the Wiki Press. This was Marcy's animated debut.
What?
Oh, this is the first time.
No wonder she spoke so much. They gave her a lot to do.
Yes, like, it was, unlike Roy. Roy, who didn't get to say a goddamn word in his debut episode.
But his silence spoke volumes.
He doesn't have to talk.
So the episode opens, as Molly said, with a couple blackout sketches of Sally just not liking school. And we begin by thinking like, oh, this must be an episode about Sally not liking school. Nah. Absolutely not. And then when the funky title sequence comes out, we have a couple blackout sketches about Sally not liking school, and then Peppermint Patty and Charlie Brown are hanging out. Peppermint Patty also complaining about school, and then out of goddamn nowhere, she's like, man, school's tough. There's so many tests, blah, blah, blah. How's anybody supposed to fall in love with all of these tests? I don't even know. And again, like Charlie Brown, as he always seems to do when Peppermint Patty is talking, no reaction, no face whatsoever. And I feel like if Amy, if you and I were hanging out and you were like, man, writing books is so hard. Who's even got time to fall in love? I would be like, wait, what were we talking about?
It's a really weird moment. It sort of reads like she's hinting, but it also reads like she's not.
Yeah.
Right.
It's very confusing. It's so out of nowhere. I legit am confused how old they're supposed to be.
I looked this up yesterday because Kayla and I were wondering. And the wiki uses a lot of phrases like, when they stopped aging. Charlie Brown and Peppermint Patty and Lucy are all around 8.
Okay.
Linus is a year younger, the wiki says, so he is around 7.
Sally's
like 6.
In this, I thought she said she was 5.
She did say, yeah, she said, when she was complaining about going on a field trip and getting on the bus, she was like,
I can see the headlines now. 5-year-old girl hijacked school bus.
Oh, fantastic. I don't actually watch these episodes.
Read the wiki.
I just wet guy my way through it. I got a deep voice and I'm loud. So Sally is 5, which I would say puts, and Kayla and I were going back and forth on this yesterday, which I say puts Marcy squarely around 6.
I still think Marcy's younger. There's something about her innocent nature. Now, maybe it's because it's her premiere and they wanted her to have a lot to do and kind of be the foil of, like, she doesn't know she's making things worse between Patty and Brown. But I think she
is. Oh, wait. By the way, Charlie Brown is called 92 things in this episode, and Brown is no. What can,
street.
What can Brown do for you? It's street. Good. Oh, good.
You kind of like Brown, don't you, sir?
Ew, America went.
Sorry, everyone. My apologies.
Well, let me actually. I like that theory. But like when you're that age, when you're like that little, if you're born in November and you have a friend who's born in May, that seems like this giant gulf. So she could just be like a spring baby.
Yeah.
She just reads particularly young out of all the characters to me. She reads the youngest, but again, maybe it's because we're spending the most time with her. And do we actually see her in school?
We see her and Patty in school, and Patty does refer to her as one of the younger kids.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to pair up for the field trip.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
The field trip coming up, the younger kids. Yeah. I just think she's a little older than Sally, but to Molly's May-December theory, that she's on the older side of 5. I'm glad we figured that out.
It's really – we have now talked about this over 24 hours. Like, Josh and I started talking about Marcy yesterday.
And we haven't stopped.
No.
Married life. That's all we do.
It's romantic.
So we don't have to talk about the real issues.
Peanuts, people.
You said peanuts that time,
maybe,
right?
Whatever. Let's keep going.
Back to the episode. Peppermint Patty and Charlie Brown sitting under a tree. She says there's no time for love, Charlie Brown. And then they're both surprised by credits as if God himself was like, and now the episode can start, you guys. Yeah. So the crux of this episode, once we get through 27 blackout sketches.
At one point, I was like, I think there have been 1,000 scenes. And I checked how long it had been running. And it was not yet at 5 minutes.
Yeah. 20. I counted. They're like 20, 21.
It feels like, because of the blackouts, it feels like you are just passing out and waking up and they're still in school, and then you pass out again and you wake up.
It's also really hit or miss. Like, some of them are really genuinely funny, and then some of them are just like the worst joke told like 3 times in a row.
But before you can even groan at it, they've started the next one. It's like so rapid fire.
It's jarring.
Here's a thing that doesn't age well. Jokes about new meth. Because by the time I feel like we were all in school, we did not have to deal with new math at all. We were back to the old maths.
I don't even know what new math is.
There's a Tom Lehrer song about it. That's the only thing I know about.
I will drop as much as is legally permissible, right?
Hooray for new math, new math. It won't do you a bit of good to read new math.
There.
Boom. Let's do this. Why don't we go around? Everybody, mention one of your favorite of the blackout sketches from the opening interminable assault of blackout sketches. I'll start. I really like Sally's greasy box of show and tell.
That was good.
At one point, Sally, it's show and tell time, and Sally just has a box, a dirty taped up box of something, and suddenly she's an old time carnival barker, like, roll up, roll up, I've got an amazing mystifying greasy box of whatever the fuck.
I have things in here to thrill you and chill you. I have things in here to fill you with fear, with terror, with horror.
And then her teacher is like, yeah, go sit down. And we never see what's in it. Kayla, did you have a favorite of the Kids Are Bad at School suite of sketches?
I have two, but I think somebody else is going to say one of them. So I'm going to say the one that I don't think you guys are going to say. I like the one where Franklin explains what he is studying for homework, because I feel like, A, I don't hear from Franklin a lot, usually. And in this one, he gets to be kind of the smart guy.
Oh, good grief. I hate science projects. I can never think of anything different.
I'm going to do mine on the various kinds of metals in the earth and how each has affected the progress of mankind.
And B, he kind of feels like he didn't know that this was a joke scene going on. And even though he didn't wander into the scene, he's just sitting there. And all of a sudden, he's like, I also have something to say. But he has no idea that this is supposed to be funny.
Yeah.
And so for some reason, I find it hilarious. I'm like, oh, Franklin doesn't know that he's in this world.
It's like when they do a Man on the Street segment.
Yeah. It's exactly that. Where he's like, I'll tell you the truth about what I'm studying. Okay, Franklin.
Yeah, like, he's just like a normal, well-adjusted kid.
He's super normal. And that's what I find, because these scenes aren't normal. And it does feel like a little bit like, I kept wanting them to be pulled together like Magnolia. Like, I thought there was going to be big through lines that kind of pulled them
nothing.
All
together.
Nope.
No. Nothing. At the beginning of the episode, Patty says, you know, there's no time for love, Charlie Brown. And then we don't get any more information about that for 15 goddamn minutes.
Yeah.
Also, even though there are things about love eventually, it's never a time management issue.
No. Yeah. At what point was time accommodated for love?
And it doesn't take that much time to do your homework and... You can do two things at once. You could easily... Anyway, you could...
I'm glad you brought that up, Kayla, because we've been looking to transition this into an efficient management podcast.
Let us make time for love, Charlie Brown.
That's good. That's like the can-do attitude.
Yeah. Right.
You said you had two of the blackout sketches that you liked, Kayla.
The other one I liked, but I do think somebody else was going to say this one, is I like when Sally kind of explodes. When she's frustrated.
It's the best line in the whole episode.
The whole thing. And I thought actually Amy might say that one.
I was going to.
Yeah, see, that's why I didn't want to say it. But it's so funny. And I think she actually says the thing that all of us are thinking.
So the bit, and we will.
What is the pull quote? Yeah.
Well, it starts off like this. And as Sally says something a little. Well, Amy, you like this line so much.
Yeah, I think Sally's like, who is. Like Richard the Fifth's father, and she's just like, I could not possibly care less.
Who is the father of Henry the Fourth? I could not possibly care less.
Yeah, exactly.
So
exactly.
Good.
And it's just one of those things where it's like, yep, 100%.
I can't tell you how many times a day I want to shout that at the top of my lungs.
That's why it still works. That's why that's
and
universal.
Even give her like an honest. Like I'm saying this like they didn't animate it, but like she gets like an honest reaction shot after too of being like, oh my god, I can't believe I said that. It's like very real.
Yes.
Do you know what I
mean? It's like the I have to say, one of my biggest I haven't seen a lot of these primetime specials that aren't the big ones that they show all the time.
The holiday specials.
Yeah. But the thing that kept driving me nuts about this episode was like no one was acting like any kind of human I've ever interacted with.
That's the frustration that we encounter with most of these.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that was like one moment where I was like, oh,
that's
look,
real.
That's how you really act in this situation.
Did you expect after she turned out, I thought the theme from Curb Your Enthusiasm was going to come in and be like, da, 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 da. Yeah.
Well, we'll throw that together when this goes
with
live.
With me bump sounds.
Fart. Farts.
Today's Peanuts Calorie brought to you by Farts.
Man, they're hysterical. And scene. Molly, did you have a fave? Did I ask you already? It's late.
My family picked up the phrase, I throw myself upon the mercy of the court with that cadence and everything. That just became a thing in our household. Like, Molly, did you clog the toilet? I throw myself upon the mercy of the court. Okay, so you did.
Boy, that example came real quick, Molly. Was that, were you the clogger in the house?
I come from a long line of toilet cloggers.
From clogging to blogging, the Molly Lewis
Molly story.
Yeah. Welcome to the clog vlog with Molly.
Oh, God. No!
Yes.
My brand.
Yes.
I throw myself upon the mercy of the court.
Oh, Kayla and I were watching this episode yesterday. Another thing from the blackout sketches. We get a little appearance from Mr. Joe Cool. Snoopy wearing a branded sweatshirt and sunglasses. When that scene came on, Kayla said, one of my favorite things I've heard her say this week, she just sort of looked up and said, he's not supposed to be in school.
And it's true. Yeah. I mean, first of all, if you're Joe Cool, you're too cool for school. Maybe.
I rest my case, Your Honor.
Right? And what's he learning? Like, he's not coming back.
By the bylaws of Joe Coolness, yeah.
He's here to disrupt.
I think we can call that function the Fonz.
Like, the
even
old guy
the
or the dog who shouldn't be there.
Like, yeah.
And is rad.
Everyone's slightly uncomfortable about, but also like, okay.
Well, Joe, in the strip, Joe Cool was Snoopy's big man on campus, college campus persona.
I don't know. I was so confused the entire time I watched this. First of all, just so many scenes.
So many questions.
So fast.
But it's also, like an old punk record. It's like everything is 30 like, seconds long.
I heard 30 songs and it's over and it's been 4.5 minutes. Yeah. But also, I get that they're not striving for, like, realism, but there was, like, algebra, and there was show and tell, and there was new math, and there were, like, kind of advanced European history questions.
Oh, yeah.
And I just was like, what school is this? What's happening?
No, I think that was just, like, the frustrations of everybody in the art department, just, like, getting it all out. Like, you know what, while I'm at it, new math sucks. Like,
yeah. It just, I couldn't focus, because I'm like, is this supposed to be like, oh, ha-ha, they're doing advanced college work, and that's funny because they're children, except then they'd have show and tell. It just, it didn't.
Maybe
I don't know. I couldn't find
school.
A thread. I was
maybe it,
oh,
is a
maybe it was a Montessori school.
And it's two different schools, by the way.
And that
Peppermint,
confused me as well.
Yeah, they didn't really make that super clear.
Yeah, that's one of those things that's kind of from the continuity of both the specials and the comic strip, is that Patty and Franklin and Marcy go to a school across town.
Right? How do they know each other?
Through baseball, because their teams play each other.
All right.
Josh, I want to go back to your Joe Cool as college campus guy.
Go on.
The sort of that backstory. Because the next time we see Joe Cool in this special, he is working the checkout at a supermarket.
that's
very consistent.
And it seems like he breaks into the the employee lounge to steal an apron and become an employee. So I'm not even sure he's being paid for his contributions.
Well, no, that's also in the strip. And we'll get to this when we get to the exciting supermarket sequence.
Oh, Jesus.
It's Snoopy in the strip, along with playing like Joe Cool in World War I Flying Ace, also plays checkout counter guy. And that's just a thing. And he'll just stand in front of his doghouse and like ask for how much the rutabagas are. And that's just an exciting way for him to spend his time.
Is this like a bit he does?
Yeah.
Well, no.
Or is he like really doing it?
His fantasies are real mellow, turns out. Like,
yeah, I mean, it all can't be being shot out of the sky in a sop with Calmel. Sometimes you got
to
just chill out and pretend.
Work the grocery.
It keeps him connected to the common people.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So we wrap up our interminable suite of kids hating school and school shit. And then we finally get into the meat of the episode. The kids are going on a field trip, and Charlie Brown has got to do well on the essay he writes about this field trip, or else he will be shot into the sun something.
Can I back up a bit? Because we've skipped over the most depressing speech we've heard in a Charlie Brown special.
Oh, we're going to, yes.
But that's between school and field trip. I just want to make sure.
Fantastic. Well, then let's get there.
And
why do we have to have all this pressure about grades, Linus?
Well, I think that the purpose of going to school is to get good grades. So then you can go on to high school, where the purpose is to study hard so you can get good grades so you can go to college. And the purpose of going to college is so you can get good grades so you can go on to graduate school. And the purpose of that is to work hard and get good grades so we can get a job and be successful, so that we can get married and have kids, so we can send them to grammar school to get good grades, so they can go to high school to get good grades, so they can go to college and work hard.
Good grief.
There it was. I mean, it cut me real deep.
That shit is bleak. I will also say, for a universe that does not do a lot of, like, visual jokes, as Linus is rattling off this speech, which also I think cut us all to the core, it actually kind of looks like they're on a treadmill.
Yeah.
Which is just extra, but you see them kind of getting smaller and smaller. Not as much a treadmill, but like one of those people movers at the airport that doesn't go anywhere.
What Kayla said as we were watching it was she just went, same as it ever was.
Yeah.
Yeah. It because that's what that scene is, right? But it's so good that if they're going to like show all those little shortcuts in the beginning,
yeah,
then have that real long drawn out Linus and Charlie Brown breaking it down, like,
yeah, fitter, happier, more productive. Yeah.
Yeah. Then go, but like, all I want to see then are the shortcuts and that back to back over and over again. That does the job. That explains, like, oh, they're never getting out of this world and they're stuck forever.
So baby boomer, by the way. So just like
it is.
No, exactly. Yeah, like that. Boomer. That's that's the old thinking, which is like you're in school forever, and then you get a job and you're contributing to society.
Right. And they believe, I mean, but they don't, when they announce kind of, or when Linus explains this is how it works, and he says it, there's that flatness in his voice, you know, and it's like acceptance.
We all hate it. Who would do anything about it?
And yet you keep walking. You keep walking that sidewalk.
But I really like the idea that Amy said that, or it was either Amy or Kayla, or Molly, who knows, could be Banjo.
Someone said something.
Let's attribute it to Banjo.
Perfect. I believe it was Banjo L. Kagan who said, my butt, it's great.
No, I said that.
Wait a minute, I also said that.
What a fantastic episode. No, it's that rapid fire montage of scenes from school that just become like repetitive and bludgeoning. And then Linus is just like, and it's going to be like this for the rest of our lives. And it really did. It actually, I realized when I was watching it, like, I didn't think like public school was going to be over until maybe the end of my junior year of high school. And until then, I was sort of like, this is practically forever. Yeah. Like, certainly in grammar school and certainly in junior high school, I saw no way out.
And when you think about proportionally how long it is of your life, why wouldn't it feel like that?
Yeah. No, it's true, because by the time you're 8 years old, as the Peanuts are, you have been in school for 50% of your life, assuming you start at like age four, like preschool age. And yeah, of course it just feels like a big old treadmill.
Yeah. So we finally get into the plot of the thing. They're all going on a field trip.
Can I ask a question of you guys?
Please. Yeah,
absolutely.
When I found out I was going to get to go on a field trip, I was excited. I was going to get to leave my school. I was maybe going to get to go to a gift shop. We were going to share some snacks that we might not get otherwise.
Astronaut ice cream.
There
was a 75% chance on a field trip of astronaut ice cream. Mm-hmm. Sally regards it as if she is going to be beaten about the face and neck with a sock full of batteries for the day.
They're all so upset about it. I mean, especially Sally, but no one's excited about a field trip.
Well, I mean, it's a field trip to like a modern art museum, which I wouldn't be excited about now. But they...
I would.
I got excited anytime we were going to not be at the school and get to do like a different thing.
You know, it's the same feeling as like when you walk into the classroom and the TV is on, you can hear it and you're like, oh God, video day. Yay.
Yeah, exactly. I don't care what the video is. Half the time, it was more boring, actually, than the class, but it was still video day.
It was still meant you didn't have to actually, like, think about something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Peppermint Patty is the only one, as is on brand for her. She seems excited about it.
And she seems like everyone else. Chill out. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
I have to say that I thought Sally's reaction was the entire internet. Like, I feel like that when she was like,
do you know what going on a field trip means? It means we ride about 10,000 miles on a bus. And we all get sick.
When she said, and I'm going to get sick, that actually makes me laugh every time because I'm like, I know 77 people like her. No matter what, it's like, we're going to go to Target and I will have friends who are like, okay, can you give me like 3 hours like to mentally prepare? And that's like not making fun of them, but it's like, guys, it's not that bad. Like, anyway, I felt like Sally, I know more Sallys now than I ever have.
As a bonus, after the episode's done, Kayla's just going to name all 77 of those people.
Get ready.
Yeah. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. It's going to be a real long epilogue.
Also freaked out about the field trip is Marcy. And this
she's
is
little.
Her sterling debut, and she's like, I'm gonna get lost, and I'm gonna be launched into the sun, and we're all gonna die, and Peppermint Patty's like, I got you, boo. This is gonna be great. I'm gonna look after you.
Why wouldn't they date?
Big kid, little kid, and Peppermint Patty's like, so all you need to do, just meet me at my place, and we'll walk together in the morning. Cut to 4 o'clock in the morning.
It's an intimate time to meet a friend.
Marcy
not
wakes.
Not just to meet them, to show up in their bedroom.
In their bedroom. I found that weird too.
But oh, it's super weird. But before we talk about that, I want to talk about Marcy's house. Because
yes, go on.
So, the height of it, at least.
Marcy wakes up at like 4 o'clock in the morning. She thinks that she's overslept.
I'm just going to say, and this may not be the time to bring it up, because there's a lot of times to bring this up.
Is it love? Because there's no time for love, Amy Spaulding.
No. Where are the freaking authority figures besides the beginning montage? Because why is there not a parent who's like, go back to bed, you freak? Why? Whatever. Oh. There's also things that could have been prevented.
Can I say the word?
At the field trip.
Oh, Amy Spaulding, let me catch you up on meat lump theory. So Josh and I have this theory that all the adults are lumps of meat.
There was an event.
There was some event.
Like solar.
Like a rapture kind of thing.
Like a rapture or some sort of nuclear
leftover
meltdown.
Situation.
A leftover situation. Some sort of shift in the Biblius, a tear in the fabric of reality that reduced all of the adults to lumps of meat with no mouths, which is why they sound like... And froze all the children, and they'll be the same age forever.
All right.
And we're not going to toe up to somebody and say, no, they are meat lumps. You shut up. But you would be surprised how few of these episodes do anything to contradict that theory.
Yeah, this one definitely did not.
For sure, no, it did not. And we'll talk more about that at the end of the episode.
Because we've found that talking about meat lumps grosses people out.
It tends to alienate people a little bit, yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. So Marcy wakes up and she's like, oh no, I guess I slept 24 hours, but I should still go to Peppermint Patty's house.
Not like 24, like 36 or something. It's so weird.
I Rip Van Winkled that shit.
What year is it?
Good God, man. Tell me who's president.
Marcy's actually 13.
Mazel tov. She's like, oh, I gotta get to Peppermint Patty's house. She leaves her normal looking bedroom and then runs down. It's like a set from Crimson Peak. And she runs down this gigantic,
like Gone with the Wind staircase,
set of stairs. And it's like, wait, where does Marcy live?
And how tall is this house?
Yeah, the proportion's all off.
Yeah.
I guess is the idea that Marcy is a wealthy child?
I mean,
I just think they wanted a dramatic shot.
Yeah, because it's nighttime and running down the stairs in your Nike clothes. Well, she changes, I guess, but like it's a fleeing.
Yeah.
You know, it's a fleeing of the house.
She uses up more of the frame as she goes, I guess. Yeah.
But that said, like when they show the exterior later of Charlie Brown's house, it's like a real shitty crayon drawing. It's like the worst drawing of the whole thing.
Go fuck yourself, 1973 anime.
No, it's just literally everything looks pretty, like, okay, this is the world they live in and it's consistent. And then they were like, oh, guys, did anyone draw the outside of the house? No.
It was 10 minutes before the episode went live.
Like, seriously, it's like there's a very big difference between how that house looks and everything else in the episode. And the fact that it's Charlie Brown's house and he's the main character, I just felt it's very insulting. And also, don't they have that picture already?
It's like somebody's like, oh, I brought my nephew. He's going to draw some assets for us for this episode.
Put it on. Just use it.
We can't tell.
We go to air in 10 minutes. I don't know how we overlooked this.
Oh, God, we can't tell Richard that his kid's not that good. Well, we'll have him draw Charlie Brown's house. Yeah, okay.
That's not important, right?
Marcy runs into Peppermint Patty's house at 4 o'clock in the morning, which I think we can all agree is weird.
Yes.
Super weird.
Wakes her up, leaves, and then Peppermint Patty's like, ah, you might as well stay. I'm not going to get any sleep.
And then cut to many hours later.
Yeah.
What happened? We don't know.
Well, friendship.
Yeah, friendship happened.
That's right. literally was like, this is for children. It's from the 70s. And I know they're not getting at anything, but it's literally one girl running to another girl's bedroom that's covered in sports memorabilia. I was like, this is pretty coded if you ask me, but nobody asked me.
Well, we are. No, that's the entire purpose of this podcast.
Oh, shit. All right, guys.
That's literally all we're doing here. Cut to many hours later, and now it's like normal daytime, and everybody's walking to the buses. Patty's super sleepy. Marcy calls her sir 75,000 times, even though Peppermint Patty is like, please cut that right the fuck out.
Stop calling me sir. And stop calling me sir. 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 Stop calling me sir.
Over what? And over again.
Do you think? Because at the end, well, I know where it's going to be.
No, just jump forward in time.
Because at the end, it's a whole thing with ma'am, and she doesn't like that either. So I'm like, I guess it's not it's not like a misgendering issue. It's a statement of authority issue that she's got the issue with.
Yeah, we've batted around the theory that maybe both Peppermint Patty and Marcy have folks in the military. Certainly, Schultz served, and there's a lot of military stuff running through the entire, world. And that just comes most naturally to her. Like, it speaks to all of them being drowned by the patriarchy. You know, the idea that, like, oh, I have to say something that immediately commands respect. And that thing is sir. Maybe?
Sure. You know, maybe. Also, Marcy wears glasses. And I know I'm sitting with two people who wear glasses right now. But I'm
very sensitive about this.
You're going to offer a Magoo theory, aren't you?
Ish. Yes. Here's why. Like, maybe she's just like thinks of it more as a joke or like can't see her super well. I don't know. Like, I don't think she's doing it just to bug her.
Well, then why doesn't she correct herself when Peppermint Patty goes, stop calling me sir? Does she then assume like, well, this man doesn't want me to call him sir? That's like.
I don't know.
It seems like
maybe it's just like she's joking.
I think it's sort of two different. There's sort of two different problems at work here. There's the problem of she keeps calling Peppermint Patty sir, despite her insistence not to be called sir. And also there's the misgendering thing. And they're two separate problems.
Yeah. I think we can all agree it drives Peppermint Patty bonkers.
Yeah. It kind of drives me bonkers after a while, too.
It's too much. It's too much. They don't let the game rest. Sorry to get all improv on you, but fucking let the game rest. Let us be surprised by it again at the end, but it's like if the two of them are in a scene. It's going to come up. It's going to come up that very moment, in fact. Yeah. It never goes away. And so you never get to be surprised by it. You never get to be kind of like, oh, yeah, that's funny they do that. It's like they never stop doing that.
It never builds. It never goes anywhere. Nope. And then it just sort of farts out at the end.
Yep.
Speaking to Kayla's theory, however, that maybe Marcy just can't see so good or has trouble identifying people and genders, we then get to the place where the field trip is happening.
Oh, I hate this so much.
The kids all get off the bus. Sally has actually a great line. She gets off the bus and she says something along the lines of like, you know, one day we're going to go on a field trip and then we won't all have to get in line and we can just do whatever we want. Just kidding. Hup, 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 hup. Can we get some of that hup sound? Can we drop that in?
There it was.
Hup, hup, hup. All of the kids are immediately put into lines and march like robots for Big Brother. But then Peppermint Patty and Marcy realize, oh, our school and Charlie Brown's school are doing this at the same time. She sees Snoopy. And as always, and this is why I brought it up, Kayla, says, oh, hey, it's Snoopy. He's a funny looking kid. But he's a great guy.
See, maybe there's
he knows what girls want. Something yes. like
he
that.
Knows how to make a girl happy.
Yes, that's right. Because she gives a hug that Snoopy did not ask for.
And he doesn't seem to be enjoying.
At all. But then he's like, well, here's a little sugar. Kisses Peppermint Patty. Peppermint Patty says, like, that kid's weird, but he knows how to make a lady happy. And Peppermint Patty still has no fucking idea that Snoopy is a dog.
It's right. So strange.
It's this weird chain of misunderstanding.
I mean, and this is really gets at the heart of what I hate about this entire scene is that everyone's acting like a fucking idiot. Like, I get that they're children, but children are not that stupid. Peppermint Patty doesn't know Snoopy's a dog. And then there's two labeled buildings and they just go in the wrong one. And then you've got to believe they've seen a supermarket before and they just treat it like they never have. So
that's a very interesting. Why don't they know what a supermarket is?
They do know what a supermarket is. That's what's so weird. I hate this so much.
But by the way, so in a roundabout way, certainly now it seems completely reasonable that Marcy can't keep straight if Peppermint Patty's a boy or a girl.
Yeah,
because all of these kids are fucking stupid.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, they're stupid or like whatever happened during the great meat lump situation.
Yeah.
Like, by the way, they're playing downtown tonight. They jam great. They're long stony jams.
$5 at the door. I wonder if like something happened to them, like all their perceptions like slightly off. Like,
well, because earlier today we recorded the Thanksgiving special, and that was a gaslighting episode, and I feel like this is a gas leaking episode. I feel like you can divide them.
So let's walk this lump backwards briefly. So everybody gets off the bus. Two lines of kids hup their way to there are two buildings next to each other. One is art museum or just museum, and the other is supermarket, and they are the exact same shaped building.
And size.
All the kids go to museum. Our gang of kids is left behind. The leftovers. And they're like, wait, all the kids hopped away already. Where do we go? And Charlie Brown's like, I guess we go to this building because
it's on the right.
Because it's on the right.
And it's closest.
And it's closest.
It's closest to that That's why they would pick
them. And that's what field trips are. Field trips are always the if you learn one thing from this episode, field trips are always to the right and closest. They're supposed to be in a museum. They walk into a supermarket, which I have to say, both that and the museum, drawn exquisitely.
The supermarket is gorgeous.
Beautifully blandish.
Super cool looking. Stacks of cans that go up to the sky.
Cool angles they used to show things. Mm-hmm.
Yes, definitely not drawn by the kid who drew Charlie Brown's house.
Absolutely not.
Somebody put some real...
I think they put too much time in the stacks of cans.
Yeah.
And here's where we... if you were ever wondering what Charles M. Schulz and company thought of modern art, well, here's where we're going to find out. They think it stinks.
That's a weird... I think that's a weird attitude for somebody who draws comics to think, right?
Well, go ahead, Molly.
And a boy named Charlie Brown, I felt, was very pop art.
Yes.
Right?
It was. Who knows? It's a few years later. Maybe they felt like pop art had worn out its welcome. Boy named Charlie Brown was 70. This is 73.
Everybody probably got annoyed with Andy Warhol at some point. You know, yeah. I know I would have.
But this is his peak too right now.
Yeah.
Like, and everyone's still talking about the
Campbell they liked pop art before it was cool.
Yeah.
Although I will say they seem to prefer more of a Roy Lichtenstein. I can never pronounce his name right.
Lichtenstein?
Yeah. Sort of that more comic booky. Looking. Yeah. And so by the time it gets to pictures of soup cans, there's definitely a lot of like, that's not art, probably. They walk around the supermarket, and Marcy's like, no, seriously, guys, I think these are just cans. Pepper and Patty's like, it's pop art. Don't you know pop art when you know it?
You Philistine.
You churl.
Now she can see clearly.
You can see a can, but you can't see my gender. How dare you? We throw over to the art museum, also beautifully drawn. I have to assume all of those works of art are based on real works of art. Viewers, feel free to tell us what they are. Or listeners, I guess. But you will view it.
We'll put them.
Wait,
we'll
are people watching this?
No, we'll put some screenshots on Twitter. We'll do.
Perfect. And Lucy, and I am going to out myself as a Philistine. Lucy basically says what I think whenever I am in a museum, which is something along the lines of I don't like pictures when they're not moving and there are no commercials, and more importantly, don't enjoy yourself. This is supposed to be educational, which completely scans with every trip as a child. If I went on a school trip to an art museum, it was literally just like, and art is not fun. Art is not enjoyable or interesting, or you're just going to look at it and then we're going to leave. Don't touch anything.
Right. Stay with your group.
Yeah.
Stay in your line.
Hup, 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 art.
Well, and also they go back, well, I don't want to spoil anything with it, but...
No, we've done the extended synopsis and everything.
Okay, so when Chuck turns in his report that he's supposed to write on his field trip, he hits the A for writing about the grocery store by mistake, right?
Yeah.
So it's also an indictment of education. Like, these teachers are so dumb that they would...
It's the young...
It's going back against the education system again, because they were already making fun of it in the beginning. Like, Amy said, it's a bunch of designers who are pissed off at their subjects. At math and new maths and everything else.
It's so weird.
So, like, once again, it's like the teacher is stupid enough to give an A because she doesn't even know what she's talking about. Basically, this is like fuck school. This whole thing is fuck school.
But we finally, we do. We make fun of art. We have some fun at art's expense. Lucy mistakes in the actual art museum a perfectly round orb for Charlie Brown's head. And we were watching it. Amy said something.
Oh, yeah. I was like, if I ever found out that somebody saw like a giant orb and was like, hey, it's Amy's here. And then realized it was just a giant orb on a stand. Like, I would have to go kill myself because I just don't think I could live with that knowledge. Like, it really upset me.
They're like, Amy's being really quiet today, you guys. Amy.
Just
Amy,
a basketball with glasses on. It says Spalding.
Literally. Peppermint Patty gets so exhausted walking around a supermarket that she
barely got any sleep because Marcy showed up at 4. Yep.
So what were they doing?
And they didn't sleep anymore.
They probably played like light as a with that thing that
it takes more. Oh, that's Smash.
They braided each other's hair.
Sure.
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 Girl things.
Play truth and dare.
But you can't do light as a feather, stiff as a board with two people.
Probably not.
You have to have three minimum.
maybe they called Snoopy.
he'd be good.
Oh, speaking of Snoopy, before we get to the, I don't remember which comes first, but this is where we get our one big Snoopy flight of fancy, which I feel like is just enough Snoopy. I feel like in some episodes they can be very Snoopy heavy. There was one extended Snoopy sequence with a funky ass song about how fucking cool it is to work at the supermarket.
The song is bonkers.
The song is the best part of the whole show.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
I was saying as we watched it, it reminds me of like a song you would do in like an improv scene where you're just singing, watching the people do scene work and singing about things as they're doing them because you have no idea at all what to sing about. Because they're literally like, he's checking out groceries. He's getting stuff off carts. Now he's ringing up this tomato can. It's like, what? Really? You got to do this in advance. Why not plan better?
I hear you. But let me propose this. Isn't jazz just musical improv?
Leave it to the musician.
I'll show myself out.
This has been a Molly Lewis Think About It moment.
Thanks.
Joe Cool after school. Working in a supermarket, breaking the rules. Joe Cool playing the clown. Just be careful of the shopping carts, they're gonna bring you down. By the way, working at a... No disrespect to people who work in supermarkets.
But like if you made a list of like, hey, these are jobs that everyone can agree is real cool. No one's writing that on there. And that's okay.
No, I think.
No one's writing my job on there either.
Well, I think it's just Joe Cool of the Carolina Cools. You know, like it's just his name. Cool is his name. It is not necessarily his game.
By the way, I think the Carolina Cools are going all the way this season. I think they got a good squad this year, the Carolina Cools.
They're opening for whatever that band was you said earlier.
The Meat Lump Situation.
The Meat Lump Situation.
Joseph P. Cool's Meat Lump Situation.
He is supposed to be cool.
I do too.
And I just think it's this weird thing where when old people want to write something about young people, but they're angry at young people, so they're like, oh, these kids don't know anything and pop art isn't good. Also, what's something cool? Oh, the grocery store? All right.
No. Amy, I think it's like crazy old guy reverso psychology. Like these young whippersnappers with their hair and their meat lump experience, they don't know the value of good, honest work. Let's make Snoopy work at a supermarket and say it's the coolest shit in the world. And that'll straighten these kids out. They'll all want to go work in jobs, squeezing produce and stuff.
Oh, no.
We, at the end of the last season, we talked to Allie Gertz about how she and I both will sing lyrics to the Joe Cool song just based on stuff we're doing, and especially uncool stuff, like Joe Cool paying for a speeding ticket, you know, like, and I think cool is a state of mind, I think is the lesson here. If you just kind of walk in going, I'm Joe Cool, I'm picking up some dog shit, then that becomes cool.
Speaking of picking up dog shit, Snoopy, when he's working behind the counter, Snoopy shits everywhere, and it's totally, it was the one episode that Lenny Bruce wrote, it was weird, because he'd already dead at that point. I don't know what time
it was his dying wish.
He left it behind. His great unfinished work. And this, There's No Time for Love, Charlie Brown, was really Lenny Bruce's Mystery of Edwin Drood.
Wow, that's a Josh Kagan-ass joke.
Snoopy is like doing a little comment like, oh, he's got a can of dog food and he licks it. Then he gets a can of cat food and he's like, I don't like that shit. And then
which is a lie because dogs fucking love to steal cat food.
They do.
Yes, you have like a Hanna-Barbera cartoon in your house every morning.
It's a lot happening, but one of my duties every night is to prevent the dog from eating the cat's food or the cats will starve. So anyway, I just found that I found the scene where a dog was a supermarket cashier unrealistic because he didn't want to steal cats.
And this is where it all falls apart. And then Snoopy gets House Train Your Dog magazine. It was like
an informational
tips
brochure.
And tricks or like Better Homes and Gardens or whatever. But it was just like how to housebreak your pet. And Snoopy reads it and just laughs and laughs. Because I guess he's just like, I shit where I want. Yeah, I'm so, Joe Cool, motherfucker.
I didn't know what to read out of that moment.
I wondered if there were photographs, like, so maybe it showed a dog on, like, dog pee pads or something like that, and maybe Snoopy was like, are you
sucker.
For, yeah,
like, are you Carl, real? You got a shitty modeling
yeah,
gig.
Just go outside. Just go outside.
Oh, no, I bet it's like when a kid reads the how to keep your teen from sexting, you know, kind of oh, that yeah. sort of
oh,
thing.
Fantastic.
Like, oh, come on. That sort of feeling.
So Snoopy has adventures, gets his foot stuck in a shopping cart,
and
all that
like,
happens.
And, like, the song right when it's about to happen is like, but watch out for those shopping carts. That's his foot trapped. And I'm like, what is this song?
If he just listened to the song, that would could have been
yeah.
prevented.
Yeah, if he just took a minute.
Yeah.
So while all this is happening, Peppermint Patty, who is up all night with Marcy, one of my favorite late night talk shows.
They're up all night to get sun. They're up all night to have fun.
I'm up all night to get Marcy.
Oh, my God.
Peppermint Patty and Charlie Brown take a break from the pummeling, walking around looking at cans montage, at which point Peppermint Patty acts like every person I've ever seen, including myself, when it's closing time at a bar. And yes. they're looking to make some kind of Peppermint Patty's like super tired, but it reads to me as super drunk.
It's like a Carol Burnett drunk. It's
yes.
like it's so yeah. like the bags under her eyes.
I just had a Sachin and Skoda. Yeah. And she starts saying to Charlie Brown, like, hey, Charlie Brown, I know you like me, right? You're pretty crazy about me, aren't you, Charlie Brown? But I like that you don't say it. And Charlie Brown's like, that's great. And she's like, yeah, you're mumbling. That's real cute. Yeah, you like me. And then Charlie Brown just sort of like looks at her after he said like, yeah, I'll sit with you. She falls asleep and Charlie Brown's like, nope. Well, I'm getting the fuck out of here. Goodbye. Peppermint Patty's like, hey, where's Chuck? He was sitting right next to me. And then unmotivated by anything, Marcy says, yeah, hey, you know what? Seems like you kind of like Charlie Brown. At which point Peppermint Patty goes, fuck that guy. He is boring. He is stupid. He is wishy-washy. You know what his name is? His name is James T. Poop, and he lives on the USS Blander Prize, and he is terrible. Boo!
Oh, more of that speech, please.
never taken an improv class in my life. Where Charlie Brown went, it turns out, is 5 feet away. Just
to get away from her.
To just get away from her. Hears all of it and is really upset. Obviously. Because
it's horrible.
It is a horrible thing.
And he doesn't
even
know someone else thought an orb was his head. Like, if he knew, his day was even worse.
He'd be having an even worse day.
Exactly.
But to having some angry drunk, like, saying that you like them, and then hearing the same angry drunk when they wake up go, oh, and by the way, that person's a shithead.
Peppermint Patty does not... It's very obvious that she super likes Charlie Brown.
Yeah.
But wants him to say it so she can either refute it... But what she absolutely does not want to do is admit it in public.
She doesn't
want to
lose the upper hand. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
But she has no hand.
No.
What is her hand? She talks about it all the time.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like she's just like keeping it cool in front of him. Like, in front of him, she's like, yeah, you like me. You like me. You like me, don't you? I mean, I don't like you. You like me.
To the home listener, Amy was staring at me while she was rattling that off, and I've never been more terrified in my entire life.
It was picked up in all our mics.
By the way, with both Amy and I on the same podcast,
a lot of loudness.
Loudest podcast ever.
Yeah.
And then Peppermint Patty says something so her, she, you know, because Marcy's like,
I bet he heard what you said about him, sir, about how he's dull and wishy-washy and that no one could ever be in love with him.
Yeah, you know what? It's weird. I think you might have hurt his feelings by saying he's literally made of garbage and a terrible, awful garbage person. And Peppermint Patty says, oh, man, I guess I didn't know he liked me.
Chuck, come back. I didn't mean it. I didn't know you were listening. Chuck!
Like, to immediate, like, this weird dissociative,
what? Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, like, no, it's just because that was a really shitty thing to say about a person.
She's, like, gaslighting herself at this point.
She chases after Charlie Brown to apologize. Charlie Brown is already on the bus, and it's one of those kind of rare moments of humanity. Peppermint Patty, as much of a pain in the ass as she can be, I always feel like there's one thing an episode, especially once we get into the 1970s and she becomes more prevalent, where you get to see like, oh, this poor kid. And the bus is pulling away and she's like, I'm sorry. I like you. I want to be friends. And it just, it made me so sad.
Because it was really real. Like, yeah. Unlike so much of this episode where I'm like, what's happening? Why are we all making the worst possible choice?
Yeah.
It was really, it was the kind of bad choice that you're like, oh yeah, I've been
It articulated
an asshole.
That shitty feeling that we've all had of like, I goofed that up really bad. I just want to ingratiate myself to you. I'm so sorry.
I'm sorry. I'm a dunderhead. I think a dog is a boy. And I don't even know that.
I've been up since 4 a.m. Yeah.
That's part of it. Like, maybe her judgment is just so skewed. She's like, I like you. I don't like you. You like me. I don't like you first. You know, like, just screaming.
Who cares? We're drunk.
You're right.
Barehanded, exactly. More fireball. Everyone goes home. Peppermint Patty and Marcy are on their very lush bus ride home.
Oh my God. They must live in a nicer school district, right? Between Marcy's staircase and that bus.
And them studying algebra.
Yeah. Where each kid on the bus basically gets their own luxury sofa.
Yeah.
And Marcy's just like real kicking back, like, you know what? This field trip is great. Thanks for setting me straight.
Peppermint's driving the buses.
Meat lumps.
Lumps. It's lump powered.
Yeah, you can't say it's not lumps. That's the thing.
Or a tall kid.
Or a tall kid.
That's the intermediary in this universe. There are the small kids, the tall kids, and the lumps.
We have seen more evidence of tall kids than we have seen evidence of actual adults.
But the science is still not there. And that's why we're doing this podcast. Peppermint Patty's like, you know what? I think I really screwed up. And Marcy's like, you know what? If you need me, I'm here. I'm going to smooth all this over. And it's like, okay, kid. That's a weird thing to say from a younger kid who doesn't know anything.
Maybe she feels confident after that field trip. Maybe she's like, oh, I got through this. So you guys, I got everything figured out.
Also, she's also been up since 4 a.m.
So she also...
But she's handling it much better.
I agree. But maybe gave her false confidence. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So Peppermint Patty wants to make things right. She invites Charlie Brown over to her house so they can all write essays. At one point... She asks Charlie Brown for the eraser. He hands it to her, and she's like, our hands touched. Still hasn't apologized.
Nope.
And is still super weird. What is Peppermint Patty's deal? What's going on?
She is passive-aggressive a lot, and then super aggressive-aggressive.
I think she's just confused.
She's confused. I mean, maybe she's like, I should like you. Maybe she doesn't really like Chuck.
You're the most viable option.
Yeah.
Therefore,
Charlie Brown.
Yeah.
Big 3D Peter Max font.
Boy, I would be surprised to see that in the sky.
You'll do, Charlie Brown.
You'll do, Charlie Brown.
I'll settle for you, Charlie Brown.
Well, he's also probably the most harmless of the boys.
Fascinating.
This is the thing I wondered. Could they actually be suitable for each other? If they would just lean in the same direction.
Yeah, well, if Charlie Brown likes to kind of be passive in good grief and Peppermint Patty's like, let's go, let's do stuff, they either could not work at all or be really good. It's like opposites attract kind of thing. Like, maybe they're great together, maybe they're not.
Two steps forward, two steps back.
She could be with Schroeder because Schroeder's too driven. And she's too driven. And that would like drive them crazy. Or she couldn't be with like...
I think she's perfect with Marcy.
I mean, I think she's great with Marcy because she wants to be a leader and she needs a follower.
But I get that that's not actually canon. I get that that's a thing that like
I don't think any of the couples are canon. It's a whole marketplace of shipping.
Hmm? Yeah, no, there's no characters in as far as I know ever have anything resembling a relationship.
Well, it's a lot of one-sided things.
Sally likes Linus and Lucy likes Schroeder.
Correct. Yep.
But doesn't Schroeder give her a kiss once in a while?
Nope. No. All of the women in this universe, I was saying this in our next episode. All of the women in this universe deliver only scorn or affection, all of it unwanted by the men. Right. They don't want to be yelled at, nor do they want to be anyone's sweet babu.
Well, does that apply to the little red-haired girl who is kind of the manic pixie little red-haired girl?
But we never see her, I think, until like the late 80s.
Until later, yeah.
But she's like Godot. Yeah.
She is.
Like, he's always waiting for this perfect thing that's never going to be.
He made me real mad at the end.
Godot?
Like, I feel like, no.
How come that bastard never fucking shoe up? Boo!
We waited.
Like, Charlie Brown, I feel like he finally kind of, like, learned something, and then he's just like, I will apply it to this other hot girl. That's what I was thinking about the whole time.
We will totally get there. We have this last scene, though. Second to last scene, but where we wrap up kind of this weird love thing. Marcy and Charlie Brown walk home. Marcy basically says, hey, you know how Pepper and Patty said all that terrible shit about you? She doesn't mean it. She likes you. And then says,
well, Chuck, thanks for walking me home. Good night. If you don't want that to be from me, Chuck, think of it as being a good night kiss from Peppermint Patty, because I think she likes you.
Which is not how you wingman. That's not what that.
No.
No.
And Kayla and I had a long conversation about the theory of transitive kissing, and we do not recommend it.
No, I don't think that's going to work in the long run. Like, and
you
don't.
You can't outsource your kissing.
No.
No, you can't. You can't. And Chuck,
you know what? I'll say, though, in this episode, it worked.
Yeah.
Well, I think Chuck had a physical reaction to it. Like, I think he turned pink and happy, but I think it's because he just wants to be.
Oh, now we're going to take a quick minute so I can shower for the rest of my life.
I didn't say horny. I said happy. I
know, nope, but that's right. If you had said horny, it would have been less gross. But Chuck turned pink and happy. And I'm just like.
He smiled for the first time the whole
episode. That sounds like a Victorian euphemism for something.
Yeah.
Oh, Mr. Dossie has me all pink and happy.
He died.
Never read one
times.
Of those books.
No.
They're all like that.
Like something from a George Formby song. Sorry. Go on.
The reason I say he smiles, he turns pink.
But
he looks happy.
He calls Patty and he's even happier.
Yeah, because now he's like, I've been, I think the kiss feels so good to him. He wants affection so badly. Maybe Marcy's cuter than Patty. And then he's like, okay.
Well, at least Marcy doesn't wear Umbros all the time.
Well, yeah, that's horrible. Those are the worst sandals.
Soccer shorts all the time. It just bugs me. No offense to anyone who wears Umbros all the time, but I will tell you. Think about switching up your look.
Well, like, and this has been an Amy Spalding Think About It moment.
And I don't want to get too pedantic here, but in other Peanut specials, they all always wear the same thing.
It's not that she wears the same thing all the time. It's
just
soccer
shorts.
It's
just that's the thing she's chosen.
Yeah.
But they're probably comfortable. I could see her being like, they're comfortable, Chuck.
It is the same sin as the dudes that wear basketball shorts.
That's a Kayla, that is a scratch. Peppermint Patty.
I've been doing Patty for a long time.
By the way, and just as a side note, going back to the now 42-hour conversation, how old is Marcy? I still think Marcy's a little older because Charlie Brown, I think if Marcy was like Sally's age, Charlie Brown would just be like, I just got kissed by a 5-year-old. That's weird.
Well, I do get
that. Not
that
six is a
I was going to say, oh, thank God she's six.
Yeah.
What's the age of consent in the state?
But I think
well, you're just north of 5, I guess. As long as you're, you know, that's, I don't know.
I think it's like still, so Chuck is still young. I still think it's like being kissed by a little girl. And like the older girl, she's kissing her for the older girl. I think there's something sweet. I don't recommend this. I don't think this is how I want like my kisses distributed. But I this is not anyway, I think there's an innocence to it. I don't but it is weird that it's a little pimpy in a way. It's like I'm gonna set you up with something great. Here's a little sample.
First hit's
kissy.
Free.
Yeah, yeah, first kiss is free. Mwah. And then he's like, hold on, I'm gonna call and get the next part.
But we can't stress this enough, peanut people. Don't outsource your kisses.
Nope.
No,
don't do
outsource
it.
Your kisses.
It's totally
that
weird.
That needs to be a song. Don't outsource your kisses.
I mean,
that's a Charlie Brown.
It's real. Joe Cool outsourcing kisses.
Though I can't stress enough, like, yes, don't outsource your kisses, but it worked. Charlie
exactly,
Brown.
It totally worked.
For a second, until Charlie Brown then went.
Hops it
okay,
up.
Okay, if you're going to outsource your kisses, which we don't recommend, but if you do. Tell the person, the outsourcer, that you are going to be the outsourcee.
Yep.
Yeah.
Charlie Brown calls Peppermint Patty and is like,
hello, Peppermint Patty? Hello? Oh, is that you, Chuck? What? What? What did he say? Well, it's kind of embarrassing to say, but I just wanted to thank you for the goodnight kiss. What goodnight kiss?
That Chuck, he's finally flipped.
But she should have said, what goodnight kiss?
Like the fact there's a lot of things Peppermint Patty should have done.
I feel like she was like just accepting that when she should have been like that. Like that language to me didn't work.
I just find the inconsistency of the whole thing to be very upsetting, because the information Charlie Brown has been given is he got a smooch from a girl and she said, if you don't want that from me, think of it as from Peppermint Patty. But that doesn't imply
it
that she
like,
got.
Hey, this is from her. She told me to do it.
Right. Peppermint Patty sends her regards. Mwah. Like it was
no mercy. And that's why I think that maybe Marcy also has a thing for Charlie Brown.
I would ship that immediately. Yes.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. But she's like, this could be from me. Look, if you're going, I guess what we're saying is, if you're going to outsource your kisses, just be clear. Just be clear about it. Either it's from you or it's from somebody else. I'm just kidding.
And I think, and absolutely don't kiss somebody unauthorized. Like,
no.
True.
No unauthorized
but
kissing.
But if someone is like,
go to the county clerk.
Like, you guys are all in relationships and I'm single. And as someone who has a lot of anxiety thinking people don't like me, I don't know. There is sort of a nice out about any move you make towards someone being like, but if you don't like it, it's from this other person. It's on them.
Right, but even in what a if couple, I started if you doing that, you would get in trouble.
Yeah, if you don't like kissing me, just pretend it was a way hotter person.
I'm like,
this kiss brought to you by Miss Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, yeah, can you outsource? Like, because she didn't get permission to do it. So, would I have to pick people I know, or could I be like, if you didn't like that kiss?
If there's something so bumper sticker 1-800 how's my driving about this, if you don't like this kiss, call 1-800 comments.
My other kiss is
my other kiss is an honor student.
Civic. Yeah.
But also, like, have more confidence in yourself, Marcy.
Yeah, you know?
I relate to that.
When you guys started talking about it and kind of opening it up a little more, suddenly I was like, oh, maybe Marcy's like super subversive and fucked up and weird and is just like, I'm gonna do what I want. I call you sir, I pass out kisses. And if you guys don't like it, get in my world. I'm not getting in yours.
Look
like,
in my house. I'm unassailable.
I mean, I kind of now think like, what if this is all from Marcy's point of view? And Marcy's just like, you're all my pawns. I'll fuck you up.
I'm in favor of that.
Yeah.
She's sweet. She's little, but she's like a Tarantino character. She's just like, I'm here. I'll give you some trouble. Also, I'll be real nice until I'm not nice anymore. You guys kind of opened my mind to that.
Let's bring this in for a landing. So nothing gets resolved with the transit of kisses, and Peppermint Patty's just like, Charlie Brown done gone crazy, and nobody will ever ask any questions about it again. Charlie Brown gets an A on his essay after he was freaked out about it because the teacher's like, what a brilliant satire and commentary on the state of modern art.
Well, there was a moment where he realized, because he was looking at Linus's slides from the art museum, that he had not gone to the art museum.
No, it finally landed on him. And I want to say that they pulled that animation loop of Charlie Brown watching his own faults from the movie.
I wrote down a quote that Lucy said, because Lucy doesn't seem to know what a photograph is. She said,
that's very good, Linus. Your photograph is exactly like the original painting.
Like, that's Lucy, honey, that's what a photograph is.
She did not, well, as we know, she does not appreciate nor care about art in any capacity.
Yeah.
Or was that just to let us know that he really was in the right spot?
It just seems like she was like, well, I should say nice things to my brother now.
Right.
You know?
Her character's just super weird.
It wasn't on brand for her. I'm like, I thought you were just like bossy.
Good job, Linus. I heard that you washed your hands after you walked out of the toilet. Like, you don't have to.
She's a competent manager. I mean, we've seen her be nice before.
Yeah, it boosts morale.
But she was very all of her dialogue was very complete sentences throughout this whole show. She's very like straightforward rabbit, like just very.
Yeah, she's straightforward rabbit.
Yeah, well, yeah.
That's a thing that only makes sense to you and me.
Sorry,
because we have a little stuffed rabbit that we decided 15 years ago was a businessman,
and they're opening for the Carolina Cools.
Okay, Charlie Brown gets an A, which I think may be his first victory in 9 episodes. Oh, except he does well at the spelling bee.
He gets
a
love letter from the what's her name?
The little red haired girl. But
he's an interesting underdog because he doesn't seem to try. So it's just weird. I get the whole idea of like rooting for an underdog, but I'm like, I can't root for someone who's just like,
we get it, Amy. You think children are dumb?
Good.
We understand that. But one thing we've learned tonight: Amy Spaulding hates children.
But he's
I just shrugged.
No, he's credulous and self-loathing. I totally feel
Yeah, no, and he never does anything, and it almost feels like to him, it's like, I won, and to us, it's like, no, you
like stumbled into
you
like,
squeaked by Charlie Brown.
Finally, they're sitting. It's Peppermint Patty and Charlie Brown sitting under the old thinking tree. Peppermint Patty finally apologizes for herself.
Yep,
and says, "You know, I'm sorry. I said all those terrible things about you. You know, it's tough. It's tough for a girl to say this to a guy." And she's really kind of putting her cards on the table. And then Charlie Brown's like, "Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know what that reminds me of? This totally hot girl that I like who isn't
Fuck
you.
Fuck you, Charlie Brown."
Boo! Peppermint Patty yells at Charlie Brown. Charlie Brown goes ass over tea kettle into the nowhere dimension, into the upside down, and just disappears. And Marcy steps out of the other world dimension to basically just walk up to Peppermint Patty and say, "Well, you said stupid shit again, sir." And then Peppermint Patty's like, "Don't call me sir. Do you think that's a cool thing to do?" And then Marcy says, "No, ma'am."
And then...
nobody laughs.
Peppermint Patty's mouth becomes like a weird squiggle.
And then they just stare. We throw to credits.
And they just stand there looking at each other.
The most uncomfortable angle, like there's like a hidden camera in a tree. Like the government has been watching them the entire time. And Kayla and I were watching it and we were like, is this a freeze frame?
I thought it was a freeze frame and I turned it off when I watched it earlier today.
Nope. All of the credits happen and then Marcy is just like, oh, it's over. And then walks away.
It's Shadow Marcy. Creepy, creepy Marcy.
Which just...
it means they were standing there for like 60 seconds.
Easily.
Like a foot apart looking at each other.
And as we watched this before the recording of this episode, I was like looking down and taking notes and you were like, nope, wait for it. Wait. And I was like looking and I looked down. No, wait, wait. And then Marcy just turns and just kind of walks. Okay.
And that's over. And that's
Which, by the way, goes, Kayla, to your Marcy is like now a secret subversive mastermind.
Yeah.
So for 30 seconds, try this. Stare at somebody for 30 seconds and don't say anything.
And after you've just told them that they do a dumb thing. Yeah.
Hey, you did something like really stupid. Stare.
Really calmly stare. Like she doesn't make a move. I feel like she's just waiting. She's like, I just told you screwed up. Fine, I'll call you ma'am. And now if you try to do anything, I will just wait.
You just think about it.
No, let me
think
about it. Let me float this question at the group. So if they're standing there for like 30 whole seconds and we are that far away, because the shot is pretty wide, what if they were having a conversation in that area, what would the sort of arc of that conversation be? What would be sort of the bullet point version? The sort of who would dress down who? Like, would they... What sort of conclusion could they come to that would make Marcy go, well, fuck this, I'm leaving?
I wonder if it's like, you know, when the news anchors used to like that the end of the news would happen, but you'd see them still like jolly.
Yes, exactly.
Talking to yes. each other, shuffling papers. So like, what if they're like, well, I mean.
Well, special's over.
Special's well, that, over.
Well, that's the news from our part of town.
Yeah, I guess we just went to a supermarket, it turns out.
That was weird, right? Oh, well, we had to. They're just recapping
the whole
weekend. Yeah. It's like, what a fucked up 48 hours we had. This has been weird.
Hey, ma'am, when you yelled Charlie Brown away, where did he go? I don't know. I don't see him.
Do you feel like someone's watching us from a weird oblique distance? Yeah, it is weird.
Okay, I'm going to go.
Or either that, or maybe again, because none of these characters ever break from their cycles, Peppermint Patty was like, Go to Brown, tell him I'm sorry again. And she's like,
it's like more transitive kissing for me.
Yeah. Like, did you want me to pass along a certain kind of kiss?
Oh, you should warm up kissing.
That's every morning when I do my isometrics and then I eat a good breakfast and then I just do some kissing practice.
I would love to hear Marcy trying to explain the logic of her transitive kissing plan to Peppermint Patty. Like, in my head canon, that's going to be what they were talking about.
Oh, sure. That makes
perfect. Can you do it? Can you do, like, a little monologue?
No. No. To answer your question.
Perfect. Molly, you got some wrapping up questions for us?
Yes. Let us go now to the Meat Lump Minute. Can we get a chorus of Meat Lumps, please?
Fart.
That was like a meat lump suite. I love it. So now that you're caught up on meat lump theory, does meat lump theory hold up in this episode?
I think so.
5 out of 5 lumps.
The only sort of dangling question is who was driving the bus? Theoretically, an adult.
We never saw it.
But we never know it's not a lump.
And there's a teacher in the classroom who has the won't won't, but
That's a lump.
That's a lump.
Them's,
that's right.
Them's lumps.
Them's lumpy.
How you like them lumps?
Oh, was there any museum guards or anything that we missed?
Not a one.
Okay.
And no chaperones, no tour guides.
Nobody working at the store except Joe Cool.
Except Joe Cool being cool. Hey, kids, you know what the coolest thing is? Minimum wage jobs.
Also, we didn't actually see the people he was checking out.
Nope.
Could have just been practicing.
Just because he loves his job so much.
Joe Cool taking control. Filling in a power vacuum out with that store. I could do that all day.
I just want to point out, because we said he got his leg stuck in a shopping cart, that his solution was just to take the shopping cart home on the bus.
Yeah. And just figure it out later.
It was like a sort of 28 hours thing. Like he would have to amputate his leg otherwise.
No.
That's a very dark Snoopy.
Probably not like the darkest Snoopy theory we've had on this podcast.
No, definitely not.
In fairness. Is this a good entry point to the Peanuts universe?
Nope.
No,
absolutely not.
Not unless you like are really on like if you're taking a mind-altering substance and you want a different kind of experience, like a Tim and Eric Snoopy. Because that first, like we all talked about, those first 4 or 5 minutes with the basically the very short scene, the vines.
Yeah.
Those aren't for
very Adult Swim like, really.
Yeah.
If you like the strips a lot, it's literally just the first 6 minutes of this is literally just 20 strips rendered in somewhat animation.
I actually really like, Kayla, your idea about cutting in the sort of vine little vignette things with the speech by Linus about like, and then you go to school and then you get grades and then that's you go what, get good grades. That,
if you want to like turn it around and make it.
Put some Philip Glass underwear or like some.
or do like Amy Mann Save Me, you know? Like,
yeah.
Like, and just Linus walking, you know? Charlie Brown on the little so sidewalk. It is, but we can make it so much sadder.
What's the matter with you, Marcy? Don't you know pop art when you see it?
Now is the time on the podcast where people plug things. Kayla Kagan?
Hi, everyone. Depending when this comes out, I have a book coming out called
Piper It's Out.
Oh, hi, everyone.
It's the future.
Hi, everyone. I'm 96 years old, and I have a sweet husband. Okay. I have a book coming out called Piper Parish. It's a young adult novel, and it's my first book to come out. And it's out March 7th, so depending on when this airs, it should be out. And you can get it everywhere.
It'll be the top and where can people find you on the great white web?
Twitter is the best place, and that's at Kayla Kagan with a K and a C, KAYLACAGAN. And Instagram, Kayla_Kagan_writer. Thanks.
Great. Amy?
Hi, guys.
Hey.
I'm just getting to know you. My latest book, The New Guy and Other Senior Year Distractions, is still available on anywhere you could buy books online. Slightly less in store because it's been out for a while. But it's coming out in paperback in June. So if you want to, if you like soft books, you can wait for that. If you like hard books, you can get it now.
Gross.
Like it'll make you pink and happy.
Yeah. Yuck. Silkwood shower.
My next book won't be out until spring next year. So. You know,
what's it called?
It's called The Summer of Jordy Perez and the Best Burger in LA.
There you go.
It's a long title.
Excited. Look forward to that.
Will there be burgers at your launch?
I'm trying to figure out how to do that because like burgers, like you need them. You want them hot. You know, you want a real hot burger. Like you don't want like a real cold burger. So I'm trying to figure out what to do.
Sliders.
Oh, wow.
Hey, Jinx.
I'm Josh Kagan.
I'm Molly Lewis.
This has been Peanuts Gallery.
Nope, they'll find me.
Okay. Hey, you blockheads. It's Molly. Guess what? Today is Friday, June 30th, and I'm going to upload this right after I've finished recording this tag. Let's go. Thank you so much for listening to the third episode of the second season of Peanuts Gallery. I am often faced with the daunting task of editing these recordings down for time, and this one was a particular challenge because Josh and I unanimously loved pretty much every minute of this thing, and it was just a little too long. So basically, we left all the jokes in, and I just tried to trim them for efficiency, because I know you've come to trust Peanuts Gallery for efficient joke delivery, and that is the service that we provide. Couple quick housekeeping things before I let you go. Our next episode will be up July 14th, and I think we mentioned it in this episode. It will be with special guest Joseph Scrimshaw, and we will talk about a Charlie Brown Thanksgiving. Josh and I may have mentioned this on the podcast before, but he and I co-wrote a musical called Thanksgiving vs. Christmas, which Joseph, our special guest for next episode, co-starred in as the narrator and also actually directed, like IRL directed. And so we really get into the nitty-gritty of A Charlie Brown Thanksgiving. A Charlie Brown Thanksgiving is available through the digital purchase avenues. It's also available on the 1970s Volume 1 DVD collection, which Josh and I both have and highly recommend. You can also watch it on Dailymotion for free. We would also like to give an extra special shout-out to Twitter follower at Shmuel510, who wrote a really spectacular Peanuts trivia quiz and gave us a shout-out, which is super cool of him. Thank you, Shmuel. That was brought to our attention by Connor Lestauka. Connor, I'm sorry if that is not how you pronounce your name. Josh and I don't claim to be Peanuts experts. We are sort of, I think, accumulating our expertise as we get through this podcast. And so you can, in listening, hopefully sort of join in that snowball with us. But if you are as big of a Peanuts nerd as we aspire to be here at Peanuts Gallery, then I can't recommend this quiz enough. We have linked to it in the show description, so check that out. Speaking of the show description, I have mentioned before that we have been getting audio blandishment from our friend Ken Plume, and I would like to give an extra special thank you to Ken in advance for his blandishment on this episode, because Josh and Amy Spaulding are some of the funniest and loudest people I know, and then Kayla Kagan and I are in the sisterhood of talking very close to the mic. Was that ASMR that I just did? I don't even know. And just that Ken can make us sound like we are even speaking from the same dimension is just a feat of technology. So big thank you again to Ken Plume. Patreon.com/Ken Plume. If you got questions or comments or concerns or theories about meat lumps, we have a Facebook and a Twitter, and they can both be found at /Peanuts Podcast. This week's discussion question is...
You like me, don't you? I mean, I don't like you, you like me!